The title is clunky, but the wine talk is smooth. You're listening to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast. Today, I am so excited about this one. I love the work he does online. I'm looking forward to when we can see comedians live again. It is Matt O'Brien. Matt, really appreciate you being part of the podcast.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, who knows when live performance will be back, huh? And maybe never again. Well, who knows?
Then it'll just be, we'll be watching you doing stand-up to, you know, bruised bananas and in refrigerators or at the video camera on a front door.
That's all I've got right now. So I gotta, you gotta work with what you got, you know?
And I do want to talk a little bit about where just comedy is at right now. Sean Cullen has been on the pod before, and, you know, so we talk about that a bunch. But the reason why you're on this one is, I think it was in May of 2019. I might be off a little bit. You started doing this web series where you were interviewing / tasting cheap wine, giving the funniest descriptors of the aromatics and on the palate. I want to review some of them with you, but is that around when you start doing it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, I'd been living in LA for about 3 years at that point, and my wife and I, we've always loved wine and wine culture. And we realized that there's wine country like an hour and a half outside of LA. Temecula is where we would go a lot. And I would talk to these winos out there at these wineries and hearing them describe different wines. And I had a guy at a winery sit me down and describe the architecture of the bottle and like how the label is placed on it. And just so I was just laughing the whole time. So then I got home and I was like, we should review wine, but like the wine that you get at the dollar store. Like the really bad wine. Cause that's another thing I realized moving to the States is you can get wine at the dollar store down there and it's,
oh yeah,
it's terrible. It's so bad.
It is.
And I Googled it. I'm like, is anyone reviewing these? And like, not really anything serious. So I was like, I might as well hop on it. I have time during the day. And yeah, I just never stopped.
It's such a brilliant idea because the world of wine is so, there's so much potential to make fun of it because of the pretentiousness and because everyone throws these terms out because they want to fit in and everyone's insecure about it. And, you know, if you ask someone, what's this wine like? And they get nervous, like, you know, they get clenched up. So there's this huge area for comedy. And I thought it was brilliant. You just tapped into something where there's so much, the possibilities are endless.
Yeah. And we were on a tour of a winery once, and I remember they were asking the group, like we were tasting this Chardonnay and they're like, what do you taste in this? And like every answer that everyone had was just the correct answer. Like there was, yeah, like someone was just,
there's
like,
no bad answer. Yeah.
Yeah. They were like, I taste melon. And they're like, oh, I taste a summer backpack, or like, it just like, oh, I'm tasting a tennis ball in the wind. Like, what are you talking about? So it's just the whole culture is just hilarious to me.
And then there's one of those the first Saw movie, the guy describes Sauvignon Blanc, like when you open up a thing of tennis balls. And
all right.
And he's a master Saw now, and you're going to believe it. But that's the thing. I've said this all the time. You can convince anyone that you're a wine expert. If you say something with conviction, and if you're constantly swirling your glass, everyone will believe you when you say this Chardonnay tastes like eye contact with a clown.
Yeah, exactly. That's why in these videos, I try to take it as seriously as possible. I try to be as very monotone and gentle and quiet like they would at the wineries. And I've had people from wineries follow me and tweet it at their fellow winos and somms and stuff. And they're like, this is bang on. Like this is...
Yeah.
If we didn't know you that you were just a clown, we'd trust that you were doing real reviews here.
Yeah, well, and see, the funny thing about this interview is I love that you're making fun of it, and I make fun of a lot of it myself. That's why I do this podcast, to try to you know, make wine less intimidating. And just, I mean, I have some stand-up and improv in my background. So to me, I like to find the funny in it. But then the other side is I've said all these things and I have listened to podcasts of Master Somm's tasting wine and I've re-listened to it and I find it fascinating. And after I listen to that for an hour, I feel educated, but I also hate myself as well.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Let me also say, like, I do love the culture of, and I do love how they can actually taste things that are actually there. Like when a sommelier like narrows it down to the dirt that it was grown in the area of Italy and all this stuff, like it blows my mind, but it's just, it's ripe for parody, I think, at the same time, just like anything.
So first off, what does a $3.69 bottle of Zinfandel, what does that taste like?
Honestly, every single time it just tastes like cough syrup. It's all syrup. Like it tastes like they just had some like yellow or red liquid and they poured a bunch of syrup in it. And like, I swear I've gotten bottles from the dollar store that the bottom, the residue is like a thick paste at the bottom of the bottle or box, depending on what, how many dollars you want to spend. But it's, it's always very syrupy. It's like flat pop kind of thing. It's like a flat Fanta or something. It's hilarious. And like the thing is, after I finish these reviews, I'll drink the whole bottle. I don't give a shit.
You don't spit, by the way. At no point have I seen you spit out the wine.
Yeah. And then like, that's, my wife will see me. She's like, yeah, you're making fun of these terrible wines, but you just finished it. You finished the whole thing. I didn't have any of it. Well, I'm not going to waste it. That was $2.75, for God's sake. American.
Exactly. That's like $10 Canadian right there.
Exactly.
But the thing is, all those wines, it's so true. And this will be the actual wine part of the interview, is that's the problem that I think people in the wine industry that, you know, Somm's or whatever, is that the really bad stuff, it's mostly just sugar and chemicals, because you can't make a wine that's $2.85 and it's actually a good wine. You're not going to make money off of it. So it's a lot of sugar and chemicals. And it just sort of, it sort of attracts people that like that have the num-num taste. They just love the sweet.
Exactly. Like, yeah, it's just like nail polish, just poured into some grape juice kind of thing. And it's, it definitely gets the job done.
Yeah.
But it's terrible, terrible stuff. And definitely, is geared towards, you know, starving artists such as myself.
How, Have you had a winery get angry at you? Have you ever had a winery come and sort of take a shot at you because, you know, you described the wine and you just said, tastes like Kyle, you know, or just some, but which, by the way, I think those are my favorite reviews when you just say someone's name. I like the hoops.
That's the real guy too. That's my friend Kyle in those pictures. I remember I asked him before. That was because that was the first one I ever made. I was like, can I use your photo in a wine review? And he's like, I don't know what any of those words mean together. sure. And then I put him in it just to see what would happen. I haven't had anyone get mad. Everyone definitely takes it as a joke. I have had like people on Twitter be like, you know, like, oh yeah, sure. Like kind of rolling their eyes at me kind of thing. And like you click on their profile and there's all these wine emoticons in their bio and stuff like that. And they're just like, oh yeah, well, great. Like I trust that you, you're quite the small, like some people that think I'm almost being serious about it, but no, like wineries especially have really enjoyed it. Like I got a free case of wine from a Napa Valley winery last time I was in LA. Just because they watched it and they were like, can you please review this? And I'm like, well, it's not cheap enough. Like, it's too expensive. Like,
what's your barrier? What is the most money you'll go? Because I think my favorite, the Christmas one, it was a $13 bottle. I think Cave Springs. And you're lying, $13.95. Fuck it. It's the holidays. It's a great.
Yeah, because that's expensive, right? Yeah. Like, that's expensive wine. I try to get like, it's easier in the States to get like nothing over like $4 kind of thing, which sounds crazy, especially in Canada, but down there, like Trader Joe's has like $2 chuck, $3 chuck that they have really cheap wines. And also the dollar store, there's just a plethora of cheap wines under $4. So I was trying to peel through all of them, but, Yeah, $4 is definitely the top. Top-notch stuff.
What's the best? I don't know if you remember. What's the best one you've ever had? Was there a $6.95 wine where you're like, wait a minute, this one actually tastes like the grape that they have the name of on the bottle?
You know what? My wife hates me for this, but there was a can of wine that I reviewed, and I quite enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. I think it was called Bodacious or something.
Oh yeah, and yeah, was, yeah, yep,
yeah, and. She was like, she saw me open it. She's like, that's going to be disgusting. And I sipped it before I started filming. And I'm like, this actually tastes okay. Like, I don't know. Like, I would get a few more cans of this and go down to the park or something. But it that was one of the better ones. All the other ones, honest to God, have been pure poison. It's, yeah. But again, I finished them all. So yeah. It's who you can't trust anything I say.
Yeah. And by the way, so the one good point about this is, some people are like, oh, wine, there's what's the difference? I'm not going to spend $40, but this is a public service announcement. Now, there are exceptions, and there is $40 bottles of wine that are horrible as well. But in general, you're going to tell the difference between $4 and $40.
Yeah, absolutely. These really, really cheap ones are like, oh, that's cheap. Like, it's so extra. It's almost like they put extra cheap taste in there. Like, they have a vial of cheapness that they pour into it. So just to be like, just realize that you're drinking really cheap wine. That's like, just let them know. Let the people know they're drinking the cheapest wine possible. You can taste it for sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you can. Hey, you were talking about just people on social media getting upset at you. Please tell me. People have yelled at you on Twitter for mispronouncing, like your one on Rioja. You know, you said Rioja. Like, please tell me someone tweeted, actually, Matt, it's pronounced Rioja.
No, I think after they saw the clip of my eyes exploding or like my head getting blown off, they're right. Like, you know what? He's clearly not going for pronunciation on these things. I did have a woman on Facebook. I posted the video. I'm not even friends with her. I don't even know how she found it. But she just wrote like not funny under it. She's like, not funny. And it was one where like my head exploded at the end. And I was like, hello, Maureen. And I was like, sorry, you didn't enjoy it. I was like, did you see the end? And she's like, no, I couldn't get to the end. And I was like, watch the end, please. And let me know what you think. And then she messaged me back. We had a back and forth for like an hour. And she was like, okay, I watched it. It was kind of good. And I was like, did you see when my head exploded? And she was like, yes, I saw when your head exploded. And I was like, what did you think of it? She's like, I thought that was fun. And I like turned her around on it just because I've got time now and I have no, you know, why not? I'll turn someone around on my videos. Who cares?
Yeah. And by the way, what kind of attention span does she have? Your video is only 2 minutes long. What do you mean you couldn't get through it?
I mean, I will say at the beginning when I say, you know, welcome to Wine with Matt O'Brien, like that might be too monotone and too gentle. Maybe she needs some more excitement, you know, off the top. But it's I got her after after I shook her for a bit, you know.
So beyond Maureen, the wine community, they've pretty much embraced you because I remember when I talked to Sean Cullen, I don't know if you've ever seen these videos. This is like one of those bad things. Oh, you're a comedian. He's a comedian. You must know each other. But he,
we do know.
Okay, good. He hosted this for Wine Align, this video series called So You Think You Know Wine, where wine experts, it was a competition. See, can you blind taste? Can you guess who this wine was? And Sean hosted it for 1 year, and it was hilarious. And it's my favorite season, and I'm sad to admit, I've rewatched those seasons more than once. we all have more time on our hands. I loved what he did, but I know some people in the wine world, they didn't get it. You know, and they wanted something a little more serious. So I was curious if everyone in the wine community loves what you're doing.
Yeah. I mean, the ones that I've met so far, I mean, I'm sure there's some out there that have not directly messaged me, but I haven't really gotten too many negatives from it. I think it's pretty clear that it's parody and that I'm not really coming after anyone. And also I'm doing free advertising for these terrible, shitty wines. So it's like, if like Barefoot was to come after me, they'd probably be like, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for just getting us out there. And I think about that every now and then. I'm like, I'm doing so much free advertising for this shit, bullshit wine. Like I should be getting things. Like when I got that free case of wine, it was from Turley. And
oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, see, you heard of them.
Of course. Well, again, my life is basically half sports. I'm a sports talk radio host for TSN, and I got my diploma level sommelier degree like 6 years ago. Wow. Oh, wow. And yeah, Turley, those are some killer Zinfandel.
Yeah. So she gave me like a case, and I like calculated it up after, and it was like $700 worth of wine that she gave me. And I remember she was like, she's like, just pick the best one, whatever you want to do. And I remember that night I opened one. I was like, I just want to try it. And then she's like, which one did you open? And I said it was some like Zinfandel or something. And she's like, oh, that was the oldest one. It was from like 2014 or something. She's like, that's the most expensive one. I was like, whoopsie daisy.
Oh, no.
But also in pure California fashion, too. She dropped off the case of wine. And she's like, okay, I got to drive up to Napa. My winery's on fire.
Right.
So she's like, I got to go make sure that the rest of my winery doesn't catch on fire. I was like, oh, my God. But they've been like lovely. Like they were like, after that, I was like, should I be reaching out more to these wineries? Because they seem to enjoy this. So I haven't yet, but I think we are actually moving to wine country because we're going back to California at the end of the month, believe it or not.
Ugh. Really? Oh, we got to talk about that.
Yeah. And we decided, because LA's still pretty crazy right now, but wine country is an hour and a half outside of it. We're like, fuck it. Let's live in wine country. Like the rent's way cheaper. It's way more beautiful. And we're actually going to because we were members at this other winery called Europa Winery, which was a really nice winery out there. We're going to try to get comedy shows going out and these outdoor spaces and try to make our own kind of scene out there and try to make something out there in wine country, for God's sake. Cause I feel like wine might be my calling.
Well, how did you get into wine? Do you have a favorite, either grape, country, just wines? And I do want to review. I wrote down a whole bunch of your descriptors, but before we get into, boy meets world, what is your jam when it comes to wine?
I like a nice Syrah. Syrah is very nice. I'm very red. I love red wines. I like a nice buttery white. Nothing that's too acidic. Mm-hmm. But I'll take red any day. Syrah, Zinfandels. What's another red? It's a fancy one. Sounds Spanish. I should know. I've drank so much wine.
Tempranillo.
That's Tempranillo.
Tempranillo. Yes. Yeah.
Tempranillos. Yeah. I love.
Yeah. Well,
I started reading,
and they're from Rioja.
The Rioja section of France. I don't know. I really should know. I tried reading at the beginning of the pandemic. I'm like, I should know more about wine, for God's sake. And I started reading some books on wine, but I'm like, God, there's just so much to know. Like, if you're really gonna do it, like, I respect you for actually doing it and getting the knowledge. But God, like, especially when you're drinking a nice bottle of wine, like, I don't give a shit about anything. Like, I'm not going to, I don't read the bottle. I'm just like, this tastes so good. I just get lost in the taste of it, you know?
Yeah. Oh, no. And well, and it's always the yin and yang of that. Like I sometimes have to take a step back because I'll take a sip and my girlfriend hates it. Like, you know, all the noises you make.
Yeah.
I don't make all of those, but I like, if yours are a 10 out of 10, mine are about a 5.5 out of 10. And sometimes she'll just look at me and I'm treating it like mouthwash. And she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm trying to get the tannic structure. And then the eyes roll back in her head and, you know, and then that's our conversation for the night.
Well, it sucks because there's been this like social stigma against wine tasting, because it's been in movies for so much where there's like, oh, I'm tasting wine. Like, and it's always that character in the corner of the room. But it's like, if you actually do these things, it does help. Like, you look hoity-toity, but it's like, it's an actual process. And it's just one of those things that like society needs to be more like, you know, like if they see somebody spinning wine, smelling it, be like, good for them. Like, they're really enjoying it. They're getting everything out of it.
As long as you sort of do it to the side, don't draw attention to yourself that I'm really going to tell you the tertiary notes of this, you know, this Northern Rhone Syrah.
Yeah, I bring a bed sheet with me to the wineries and I put it over my head and then I swirl and sniff and groan. No one knows what I'm doing under there.
that's a way to keep keep the attention away from you. So actually, you know what? Because I want to bounce back and forth a little bit. How tough has the last year been? I mean, it must have been a weird thing for you and your girlfriend being in California and then, you know, eventually coming back to Canada. And it's, I mean, beyond doing some virtual shows, and I've seen some of Sean Collins and I've seen some Second City shows that me and my girl have paid for, but how hard has this been for your business?
It's been a disaster, really. It's, literally at the beginning in March, I lost every single gig. I was supposed to tour colleges. I was supposed to go to Scotland to the Fringe Festival with a musical, believe it or not. I was in a musical in LA based on the Fast and the Furious. My friend wrote a Fast and the Furious musical. And it was selling out like crazy. And we had so much buzz. We had people from Universal that were coming to the shows that actually made the movies and they loved it. And of course, all of that, no more live shows, no more musical. So, and then also on top of that, we were like trying to quarantine in our apartment and we got a leak and there was all this mold in our apartment. So our landlord's like, oh, it's going to be like a 4 to 6 week repairs. And we're like, oh, a pandemic just started. So I guess we can't even quarantine. So we're like, fuck it, we'll just drive back to Canada for a couple weeks. And we've been here since, basically. But it's been tough. But it is, I do feel spoiled in a way because I do have a full career up here in Canada. So I'm still able to, like I did a special with Just for Laughs, the Just for Laughs Festival. They filmed some specials back in September. I've been booking commercials. I've been doing some acting work on TV. So it's like, it's coming to Canada was absolutely the right choice, but losing all of my work in the US was like still jarring. So it's the recovery from that's still going to be a long time.
So you're not making millions from your recreation of Frasier.
I've made $0 from that. Believe it or not. I did get a retweet from Mark Hamill and that was enough for me. So That was fine for me, but those have garnered me no money. It's much like all of my videos. They don't garner. I'm not in it for the money.
Well, you got a case of Turley wine. You know, that's pretty.
That's all I need.
That's not bad. By the way, the videos, they've gotten fancier from 2019 to the Christmas one where your head gets caved in and spoiler alert, Santa is dancing. Like, you know, the videos, they've gotten fancier over time. Oh,
thank you. Yeah. I have been, you know, studying video editing. I've been taking some courses online and I've upgraded some of my especially when the pandemic started, I'm like, I literally was like, I have nothing. All I have is online videos. So why don't I just invest fully in that? So I upgraded my camera, everything, computer. And I was like, I'll go really hard into video editing. And yeah, I think it is starting to pay off a little bit in quality, at least.
Well, that's so smart of you, by the way. Like that, like in some ways I'm jealous. Like all these people during COVID, when they lost 30 pounds, they learned Portuguese or they can play the guitar. You know, ironically, I probably just drank more. But for you, I mean, getting those skills, getting better at it, dominating the green screen, though I didn't appreciate the Bridgerton one because, wow, I got an ass full of that show about a week ago. They binged that. But I think it's fantastic just as a mini bit of reinvention for you.
Yeah, thank you. It's and also I just genuinely enjoy doing it. So it's something I just have a real passion for. And it's trust me, I have been drinking a lot. So it's not like I'm also not drinking a lot. You say you're drinking a lot during this. Of course, yeah, I am too. But all my friends are comedians. We're all kind of doing the same thing. It's like, what the hell do we do now? What the hell are we? Like, yes, a lot of us are doing online shows, but that's not the same as stand up at all. So it's like, yeah, the videos are filling that gap until live shows come back, because that's a huge chunk of my life. So I got to fill it with something, you know?
I don't know if anyone's ever said facialed by smells before, but has anyone told you some of your tasty notes are not far off? There's two I wanted to sort of talk about. Raisiny dryer sheet. I mean,
oh, really?
The raisinated part there, you could certainly, And the dryer sheet could be a white florality, but the raisiny thing, you could actually get that in some older Zinfandel. Hell, your Syrahs in, you know, older Northern Rhone Syrahs, you could get that. But here's one I bet you didn't think. Cheesy treadmill.
No.
Chablis. Really? Chablis, because you sometimes get sweaty notes. That's the treadmill. And cheese rind is often a character, an aromatic characteristic for a lot of Chablis, which is just Chardonnay from the northern spot of northern part of Burgundy in France. So I saw cheesy treadmill. I think I could get away with that at a tasting.
Crazy. That blows my mind. Like, I literally, I'll just think of like two words that don't go together, or I'll go to a random word generator on the internet and just try to get random words together. I did one time, maybe this is where this came from. I looked at one of those tasting wheels.
Yep.
And I tried to connect two that clearly didn't make any sense. Yeah. So it's possible that raisiny or tread, I don't remember seeing treadmill on there at all, but that's the thing. We all know what a treadmill smells like.
We do.
We all know that smell.
Yeah.
So it's like, God, I thought I was just being an idiot, but maybe I am a master sommelier. That's what I'm learning after this.
You know, look out, Jancis Robinson. Here comes Matt O'Brien. I'm sure
I knew that name.
I was going to say, I bet you hear that all the time, don't you?
Yes, I'm always getting compared to Janice Robert Rippertson.
That's right. Her. You've pronounced it perfectly. All right. So what is the difference in terms of the taste of a wine between season one versus season two of Boy Meets World? What is the difference in the flavor profile?
Season one, the flavors are still trying to figure it out. They're still trying to get their legs. Mm-hmm. Like, it's the first season of like any show or wine.
Yes.
They're trying to figure it out. The characters aren't completely hashed out. Season two, they've been renewed. The cast has a bit more confidence, and the wine itself has a bit more confidence as well. That's what I would say. And
I like
you
it.
Can taste that in the shittiness of the wine.
Dad mouth. I like that one. A whole rabbit, church forehead. Forehead. That one. That one feels like I'm just going to take two words and put them together.
That the dad mouth is actually because I used to go to a school in an elementary school that required uniforms, and my dad would tie my tie in the morning.
Okay,
and that's the smell I was picturing because he would have this coffee cigarette mouth, just like. Just breathing right in my face. And I'm like, that's always in the back of my brain is the worst smell I've ever smelled my entire life is dad mouth, like morning dad mouth. And then also church forehead. I used to go, I grew up religious, not anymore, but I can smell a church. I know what pews smell like.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been in like real hot, sweaty churches. So like a sweaty, woody kind of pew smell like that. To me, would be such a bad wine taste.
Frat boy on. Oh, by the way, actually going back to it for a second, I feel bad for your mom because if dad mouth is the worst smell out there, there's like someone has to spend a lot more time with it than you ever did.
Well, he quit smoking, so maybe it's better dad mouth now. Maybe I'll do a revised dad mouth for a future wine.
That wine will be like a dollar more expensive, you know, better dad mouth. You know,
you got no smoking dad.
Yeah. Frat boy on a Sunday. Actually, you know what? I think that that smells like what, like Axe body spray and Jaeger bombs. Like I'm trying to imagine what
also,
that would smell
also
like.
Also sweat. Most of them are covered in sweat, I'd feel. I think I wrote that when I was hungover. I think I was hungover on a Sunday and I'm just like, if you could bottle this taste, like just the headachey, kind of achy, pukey, like you're like, I'm never drinking again kind of feeling. But then you drink the next day anyway. That's kind of the vibe I was going for that, you know?
Isn't it weird? Like, I don't know if you have this where you've, you know, had too much to drink the next day, you're slow, fuzzy, full head, whatever, everyone's is different. And then there's that moment, usually around 4:30 in the afternoon. You're like, you know what? Yeah, I'm doing good. I could use a drink. Like just the human body, just the bounce back. It's like, nope. My emotions at 10 in the morning are now gone. By 10 a.m., it's 4 p.m. I've got a new outlook on life.
Well, I've always said that a hangover is kind of like a fun project for the day. It's like it starts out so shitty And then you're like, oh God, this is so bad. I'm going to put a cheeseburger in there. I'm going to put some coffee in there. And then by the end of the day, you're like, I finished my little project. Like, it feels great now. I'm going to celebrate with a beer. Like, yep. I finished it. So it's like, whenever I'm like really hungover, I'm just like, well, I had nothing to do today anyway. I might as well deal with this hangover. That'll be something to do, you know?
Yep. Speaking of frat boys, douchebag level 1 to 10. I want you to rank this for me. If I think a wine smells like mushroom, but I say it smells like crushed porcini dust, what's that?
I don't know. That's a high. That's like 7, I think. Mm-hmm. Because if you name the mushroom, there's something. Is there a wine connoisseur version of the like a mushroom person? Because there's like, I've definitely heard people go off on mushrooms, and I'm like, with the name, the porcini, like, you know, like.
But that's the only one you can name, isn't it? I was going to say porcini. I can't name a second mushroom. There's one that begins with the letter C.
What's the Japanese one?
Oh, shiitake.
Shiitake. Damn it all to hell. Yeah. But it's like, that has the same hoity-toity sound to it that wine does in a way. So it's like mashing those together. Ooh, mama.
Now, when I say that this wine is more, the acidity, this is much more angular and less wide. How douchey is that?
Oh, that's very douche. That's definitely like an 8 or a 9. You're getting up there. Yeah. My wife one time heard a sommelier at a party describe a wine as having broad shoulders.
Yep.
I remember she told me that. And I was like, that's crazy. Like describing like the body of the wine, like, oh, he's got great pecs, this wine. Like, it's just, it's, that's insane to say. It's so douchey.
I'm now going to use this in a sentence that you can hate me for. The Poulinet Montrachet was more angular, but the Chasson Montrachet had much broad shoulders, had a lot more structure around it.
How do you take... how do you taste angles? What is the angle? What do you mean? Like you, like it goes up on your tongue or down? Like
it actually is kind of goes up on your tongue. It's this acidity, this really astringent, astringent is the wrong word, but this really acidic, tight, coiled, tense line. I could pour it for you to try to make you understand it. It's hard to explain. However, the one thing we can agree on, if you pontificate about that loudly at a party, you're a douchebag.
Oh, for sure. Also, I'm very susceptible to suggestion as well. Like if I was drinking like a pop or something and someone told me it was vanilla, I'd be like, it's vanilla. Even though it had no vanilla in it, I'd be like, I taste the vanilla. Like, so if I've had people at wineries tell me like flavors, I'm like, oh yeah. Yeah, I taste the blackberry. I can taste the you know, the sole of a shoe, right? Like, I got that. Yeah.
But because people in wine are insecure, but they want to feel like they fit in. So, and it is one way, that power of suggestion. The easiest way to get 20 adults to nod their head is put them in a wine tasting room and say, this has got some lemon lime and a little bit of bruised peach. And when you say bruised, you get more specific, and then everyone's going to nod their head.
Oh, it's very exciting to hear too. And also, like, I'm a dum-dum when I go to wine tastings too. I'm just like, me don't know. So you tell me. I didn't come here to, you know, this is school for me. I'm just here to get a buzz on and taste something cool.
And the thing is, in the end, I always tell people, if you like the wine, that's good wine. Don't worry about me. Don't worry about anyone in the winery, any reviewer, you know, that damn Jancis Robinson or anyone else. Actually, a really lovely woman. I saw her at my diploma ceremony in London, England. I was too shy to talk to her. You know, like, that's a huge celebrity.
As we all would be, of course.
My girlfriend was like, why don't you talk to her? She's standing in the corner. She looks like a librarian. I'm like, I can't go up to her. It's Jancis. What are you doing? I'm going to embarrass myself.
I will also say we're trying like a bit of a dry February right now, so we're trying to drink de-alcoholized wine. Oh my God, what is this stuff?
It's horrible.
Like perfume. It's like perfumey grape juice. It's so bad. It's not even a substitute.
Yeah. No. It's. I would. I mean, hey, if that's what you guys are doing, great. Yeah, I'm never going to be doing a dry February. I didn't do a dry January, and you know, someone's got to support the local economy. Here's one tip I always tell people: if you want to be a wine expert, order something that no one does. Like when you are at a restaurant and if you see a grape you've never heard of, just order that. It's like, is that a Viognier? Oh, yes, I'd love to have that. Thank you. And everyone at the table is like, wow, Matt knows wine. We were all just getting Chardonnay.
I mean, I don't go to fancy places that have multiple types of grapes. That's the problem. Or I didn't before this. I'd just be like, what's open right now? What's your most open red? What's the oldest thing in the fridge? Also a red? Put that in a glass for me, bartender.
Hey, listen, even at Jack Astor's, there'll be at least two different types of wine. Yeah. You mentioned I'd love to hear more. You and your wife, you guys, and I'm assuming because she's great on Frasier as well. Does she also come from a theatric comedic background?
She does. Yeah. She's also a stand-up comic and an actor as well. She actually went to comedy school in Toronto. Humber College has a comedy course, which if I knew about that, I would have taken that as well. But she's been doing comedy longer than me. And that's how we met, doing comedy and stuff like that. So it's perfect, especially for now, because we can make goofy shit together because, you know, you can't be around other people. So at least we got each other.
And I do tell people, go to Matt O'Brien, go to his Twitter account. You do a lot with a little, you know, a couch and a chair. You know, you certainly do a lot with that. But you said before you're going to be going back to L.A., going back to wine country there and trying to do some open air, trying to do some stuff. I'm curious just what you hope the next 6 months is for you.
Well, it's just getting settled again. It's right now all our stuff is in storage. We had to pack up in our entire apartment, put it in storage. So it's been in storage for a few months. So just moving into a new place, getting settled again. Luckily, auditions and stuff like that in LA are all over Zoom so that you don't really have to be in LA. So that's why we're thinking being outside of LA is going to be more beneficial. And just trying to make something out of what we're doing down there. And, you know, luckily the weather is going to be much better. And
then Ottawa in February, yes, the weather will be better.
It's bad. But also this area, I feel like is untapped in a way, like not a lot of people know about Temecula. And I will talk to people that have been to Napa and stuff like that. That's the big one in California. Everyone goes to Napa and like we've been in Napa as well. But Temecula is like this cute little community just on the outskirts that no one really knows about. And I don't know. I feel like we can make some moves there. So we're gonna give it a shot and, you know, see what happens.
Yeah.
Just keep rolling with it.
It's a great idea. And yes, it'd be cheaper there than LA or Napa or Sonoma. That's for sure. Hey, by the way, and I should have asked this earlier. This would have been a better early question interview, but when did they really start to catch on? The wine review videos. You know, was there a point when you realized, oh, wait a minute, this hook is working?
It was almost like the first one I did. I did it. Actually, it's funny. The original idea, which is much stupider, was I was going to review National Geographic magazines. Like I was going to review, I have a stack of National Geographic magazines and I'd read them and I'd be like, well, this article is boring or whatever. And I'd be like, what's something really stupid? I'm going to review those. And then I was like, well, cheap wine seems to be a bit more, you know, universal. And I just posted it, not even thinking about it. I was like, it was one of those things where like, it truly is like, if you are having fun doing something, like I think it shows in the final product. Like I had fun doing it. It was a stupid little afternoon. I didn't even think about it. And then I posted the video and it got shared more than any video I've made. And in my head, I'm like, I didn't even use the green screen. I didn't even do anything. Like all I did was put little icons up here and drink some cheap wine. Like what the hell, man? Like it didn't even take me that long to make, but it resonated with people. And after that, people would share, the right people shared it. Some like bigger Twitter accounts shared it and it kind of popped off from there. So
yeah,
every time I post one, it gets a good response. And honest to God, every time I make a new wine video, I'm like, well, that's my last great idea. I'm completely out of ideas. And then somehow if I think of another one, I'll just make another one. So it's like, I'm just going to keep doing them until I run out of cheap wines, I guess.
It's great. And as I said before, you tapped into something that is within so many people, where that comedy, immediately everyone recognized it. And I remember people started tweet, even when I was listening to it or watching, people would tweet me like, you got to get them on. And say, I'm a dummy. I didn't realize you could message someone on Twitter if they don't follow you and they can see the message. And then I'm like, can I do that? And I appreciate you getting back to me pretty quick and getting this set up. I had no idea you could do it. But yeah, there was a lot of people that said, Matt, why aren't you interviewing Matt O'Brien for your pod?
Yeah, I think I remember someone tagged you in one of the messages. And I remember I was like, yeah, come on, man, let's do it. And you were like, yeah, okay, let's someday.
Yeah. Then I'm like, is there a website? Is there a contact info? Is there an email address? How the hell do I, you know? If I was smarter, I would have figured it out probably about a month earlier. Well, Matt, I really appreciate being on. Before I let you go, just your Twitter account, website, where's the best place for people to find your content?
Yeah, Matt_O'Brien on Twitter. And I mean, I'm on Instagram as well. Matt O'Brien somehow just got my first and last name. And I mean, I would say go to my website, but I just had tour dates on there and I got news for you. There's no tour dates. So I'm literally posting everything on my Twitter. That's what I primarily do if you want to find me.
Perfect. Well, Matt, appreciate all the best going back out to California, to Temecula. And wish you nothing but success. And hopefully you get to tour again. Hopefully just, you know, a vaccine and it gets safe for everyone to get together, because comedy, watching on Zoom on my couch is fine, but live is you need that intimate experience of being around other people and that sort of joined, shared experience that we just don't have like this.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah. Someday.
Yeah.
Someday soon.
Thanks so much, Matt.
Thanks for having me. This is fun. Thanks again.
Thanks so much for everyone for listening to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast. Remember, you can find me on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, and wherever quality podcasts are sold.
Thanks for listening to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast. Happy hunting.